This week was a big one for transitions. On the very same day, that would have been Monday, a dear friend of mine and many other people in this town, Helen Lottie, left this plane with blessings. She was 97 years old. And what a person. What a human being. And we all have great memories. On that very same day, 3,000 miles away in Nova Scotia, a little girl was born. And those of you who listen to this program regularly know that I give a shout out to Boudelaire's Point, Nova Scotia, every week. So this one is going out to my newest Nova Scotian. Not even sure of her name yet. I think it's going to be Sydney, but we're not talking. Also this week, we lost a couple of other special people, one in Nova Scotia, nephew Brian, and one right here in Oregon, Susan's dad. So this goes to all the transitions. May all be in peace. And for the little new one, may she have a joyful, joyous life. And let's give a shout out to B.B. King, too. He brought us all a lot of joy. Here's Iris DeMint.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worried about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
A good message for us all to remember at all times. Well, my first guest, I've been quelling, for those of you who know that word. I've been excited about his being here because he's a newbie. He is a radio virgin. Isn't that right? Notice he didn't even speak. He's actually quite articulate. And first I'll tell you who brought him here, our dear, dearly treasured Margaret Wall, who is the founder and teacher and everything else at the Astoria School of Ballet. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Carol.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having us.
And so you are putting on the ballet Cinderella with music by Sergei Prokofiev.
Yes.
And choreography by?
Myself.
Uh-huh. Okay, just wanted to ascertain that. Maggie is not a radio virgin. However, she brought with her A.J. Negron, who is an apprentice with the Oregon Ballet Theater. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, now you will have to speak because, you know, this is radio after all. I can't see your adorable face. Not only is he a professional dancer, but he's also from Brooklyn, New York. What could be better?
Forget about it.
There you go. He's just proven himself. So, well, this is very exciting. And you hadn't been to Astoria before, you said.
No.
So how did this happen? How did this work out?
Maggie contacted the OBT school director, who came to me and said she was looking for somebody to do Cinderella for her. We just did Cinderella with the company. And it's a great opportunity for me to be out here.
Lovely, yeah. Lovely. So, Maggie, have you used some of the moves from the original choreography? If there is one original, I don't know.
I don't know that the original choreography would even still exist, but I've been inspired by different choreographers and tons of videos.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm wondering is, whose choreography did you do before, AJ?
Last year, I worked for the San Francisco Ballet, where I had performed Christopher Wheeldon's new Cinderella version. Also this year, OBT did Houston Ballet's Cinderella. So there have been a couple different versions.
How is that? We're gonna go backwards here. First, let me start with today. How does it work for you to have already performed this with the same music, but now you have different choreography? Is it confusing? Do you have to sort of do a meditation, let go of everything, and start again?
No, it's actually a lot easier because most of the music references certain times in the ballet, certain things are happening because this is what the score dictates. And so even though Maggie uses a condensed version of the music, I can still know where I am and know what I'm doing just because of, you know, what's
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Maggie, why did you choose Cinderella? Because every year I have no idea what you're going to do, and you always put something together that is glorious. So what brought Cinderella to you this time?
The music, I think, the Prokofiev. In years past, I guess recent years, I've been doing original ballets with music that I've kind of
patched together.
Yeah. And this was already in one nice little perfect package, so
it's easier perhaps,
or this year's been really hard. I always think it'll be easier with a score that, you know, is so famous and like tells the ballet for you, but it sort of adds more pressure.
Interesting. Okay, so now I would like to hear a little bit about a condensed version. You gave me those words of your life in dance, Maggie, and then I want to hear where you're at with yours. AJ, I have no idea how old you are.
I'm 21.
21. Okay, you could have been anywhere from 17 to 27. So you're in there. No, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good. You probably still get carded, though.
Yep.
See?
Every day.
Just about 10 minutes ago.
Well, you're in the right town anyway. Uh-huh. So. Got plenty of places to be partying. So, Maggie, give us a little a version of your starting in dance at an early age, or whatever age it was.
Well, I'm from Michigan. I grew up in the Ann Arbor area. My mom put me in ballet when I was 3 because I was shy, which is a typical reason, I think, for mothers to put their little girls in.
Mm-hmm.
I took to it, fell in love with it. I danced at a small school in Ann Arbor for, 10 years, and then moved on to a more pre-professional school in the Detroit area when I was, I guess, 12.
So did that mean you had to commute?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My parents drove me an hour every day.
Wow.
Each way.
They could tell you were committed, obviously. They wouldn't have done it.
Well, Carol, I was pretty good.
Yeah.
You
still are, Maggie.
So they knew I was serious, and they were willing to go along for the ride. So then I started dancing with Jakob Lasku in Bloomfield Hills, and through him we did major productions with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra and the Michigan Opera Theater. And then when I was about 15, I had to have back surgery.
Yeah.
And sort of took a change of plans. So that was kind of the end of like the professional track. But I never strayed away. I just couldn't be away from it.
That's the artistry there that you were so, that's why I said the word committed, because it was so much a part of you that even when you couldn't, when you knew that that dream was gone, you morphed it into another dream. And how long ago did you come to Astoria?
In 2004.
Wow. And you immediately established the Astoria School of Ballet, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've seen quite a number of youngsters, local youngsters, go through, and it's just been wonderful. So how about you, AJ? When did you start ballet, and why? Who did it, you or your parents?
Well, actually, if you've ever seen the movie West Side Story,
ah.
There's a little blonde boy in that called, his real name is Elliot Feld. And he
yes, mm-hmm. I know the Elliot Feld
company. He grew up to create his Elliot Feld company.
Right.
In turn, he created a school that goes and auditions children in the New York area.
Ah.
And I was auditioned. You know, my teacher said, just do it. There's no reason to not. And they kept calling me back. And
how old were you at that?
I was 8.
8 years old. Wow.
Yeah. So, every Monday I got to skip school, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing it.
So had you had any affinity for dance before?
I have 2 younger sisters who danced.
Mm-hmm.
But, they ultimately stopped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you're the one who pursued it.
That's
right. Yeah. Were you a wiggly kid when you were little?
Oh, yeah. My dad used to come home from work and take me out to run around the block.
Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so what happens now? I read out Apprentice with Oregon Ballet Theater. How does that work?
Well, a lot of ballet companies are ranked, starting at the top with a principal dancer. So these are the most trusted people in the company. They know their work, they know exactly what they're doing, and very experienced dancers. Moves down to soloist and the corps de ballet, which hopefully I will move into as an apprentice. I'm below corps, where the apprentice group is smaller than the corps ballet group.
Is it full-time? Are you working with the ballet? It is.
Yeah.
It
40 hours a week.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So That's a commitment, too. That's a big one.
Well.
How's the body doing?
It's holding up.
Yeah.
You know, every day is something different. Mm-hmm. But all in all, it does what I ask it to do. And
wonderful. You know. We had the Dance Theater of Harlem here, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some programs and talked to the youngsters about the number of hours they danced mm-hmm. every day.
Yep.
And the kids were sitting there with their mouths hanging open thinking, oh my God, this is work. You know, it's not just hanging out and looking pretty.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. So, well, I'm very excited to see you tonight on stage at the Liberty. This is obviously an all age. Now, it's at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
Maggie. And did I read something about children? Because you already performed today and yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, we did 3 school shows.
How were the kids?
Today the crowd was good. better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they need to be prepped and let them know what's coming. So
yeah. No, they're they always react well.
So, and it's how many of your students are dancing in Cinderella?
I think we have, I think there's 42 people total in the show, and that includes AJ and some other guests.
Okay. You have other guests as well?
Mm-hmm.
Guest dancers? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Also from the Oregon Ballet Theater or from different places?
No, we have a young lady who's performing the role of Cinderella. Her name's McGuire Hammond, and she is with the Portland Festival Ballet. And then we have some local guest artists.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Boisvert is doing a tremendous job as the stepmother in the show. And
is there dance in that, or is it mostly theater?
It's both.
Okay.
A lot of theater, but there's mm-hmm. some dancing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she is trying to steal the show, I think, from everybody.
Aha. Well, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Folks, 7 o'clock tonight at the Liberty Theater, Cinderella with music by Prokofiev and choreography by my guest, Margaret Wall, who is, again, the founder and director of the Astoria School of Ballet. If you've got children interested in ballet, can they, how do they find out about the ASB?
Well, bring them to the show.
For sure, bring them, although some of them may have already seen it through their schools, in which case they'll probably bring you adults.
Right.
So, but are you online?
Yes, our website is AstoriaSchoolOfBallet.com.
There you go. So you can check it out. And if you're not here yet and you're thinking of moving to Astoria because this keeps happening over and over, this is one more reason we have wonderful dance for children and adults right here. And I do want to let you know that tomorrow night at the Liberty, we have Anthony Kearns. You've been hearing about him on the radio. He is one of the original Irish tenors, and he will be performing tomorrow night. You can find out tickets for both by calling 503-325-5922, extension 55, that's the box office, and or just come to the shows, but come early. Don't get there at 7 and expect to walk right in. You have to get your tickets and find your seats and enjoy the theater. Thank you so much for coming in. AJ Negron from Brooklyn.
All
right. And more recently from the Oregon Ballet Theater, which is the relevant part right here.
Uh-huh.
And Margaret Wall from the Astoria School of Ballet.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, now I will not say to dancers, break a leg, but you know I mean good luck. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Coast Community Radio, and I have a song for you from Carrie McNally, who is going to be in a house concert in Oysterville on Sunday, 4 p.m., and you do need to call for directions and to let folks know you're coming. This one goes out to many folks.
There's nothing like a valley road where the gardens grow and the fields are mowed. They carry me away from stress, where enough is enough, you can live on less. Where the elk roam free and the swallows fly and the neighbors wave as you pass by. You rarely meet another car and your workplace never seems so far. You're wishing that you'd never have to go from a valley road. Fresh mowed grass beneath their feet is cool and soft and smells so sweet. Where a little house on a dead end road is the ideal place to lay your load. The water tastes so fresh and sweet, and you head to the creek in the summer heat. You're happy that the pace of life is slow on a valley road.
Valley road.
Oh, oh, oh. There's nothing like the moon above to share with someone that you love. It shines on us as we grow old, just hanging there in the night like gold. View from your front porch never gets old on a valley road.
Valley road.
Oh, on a valley road.
Valley road.
Oh, on a valley road.
Valley road.
All right, and you were listening to Carrie McNally. And, yeah. Okay. We got a lot going on here today. What else is new? After all, you are in the Columbia Pacific region where the arts and culture are so alive, you wouldn't believe it. It's amazing. So you really should try to join us here because we know how to do it right. And the next folks here, they know how to do it right too. They hail from Nehalem. Well, at least that's where the show is going to be, at the NCRD. Ooh, you know.
Great.
No, but actually, your mic. Yeah. There you go. Good. Okay, you have to be very gentle because I have earphones on. You know. So, I've got folks from the Riverbend Players Theater Company, and they are putting on the comedy, The Foreigner, by Larry Hsu. And it's interesting because I didn't realize, I've never seen it. It was performed here last October, I think, but I was in Nova Scotia, so I missed it. And I didn't realize that it was a comedy. Until I read the script there and I realized, okay, I get it now. Mm-hmm. So I've got the producer, Bob Latore. Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
And I've got the director, Sedona Torres.
Hi.
Is that how you say yours?
Yeah, Torres.
Folks, mm-hmm. Torres. Mm-hmm. No, notice these names. They're all the same name,
they
but
are.
They're, you know, they're pronounced differently. And then Renee DeLight. Latore,
yes.
is one of the actors. She also happens to have the same last name as Bob because, yeah, that's right. And so you're not being directed by your husband. You're being produced by your husband. I don't know. How's that? How does that work?
Somehow make it work.
Make it work. It's true. So You are performing this play for 3 weekends, mm-hmm. but not tonight.
Correct.
Okay, that's good
yeah,
to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be starting in tomorrow at 7 p.m. over at the NCRD Theater.
Okay, and the NCRD stands for
Nehalem or North Coast
North
Recreational
County.
Yeah, North County Recreational District.
Okay. I never get it right.
I know.
I'm glad you didn't either, because it's always a bit confusing. But it's a great space. I was just there for the trash art show,
yes.
which was delightful. So it opens tomorrow night at 7 p.m. All the evening shows are at 7.
Yes.
And then a couple of afternoon shows, Sundays at 2.
Yes.
Saturday and this Sunday, mm-hmm. and then next weekend is Friday and Saturday only.
Correct.
And then the third weekend is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
You say yes as though that's normal. This is the most cockamamie schedule I've ever seen.
It's actually quite the evolution for the Riverbend Players. You know, it started out maybe just 2 weekends, and mm-hmm. it has grown because we do have a beautiful theater that's evolving along with the
yes,
Riverbend Players.
Yes, which is exciting that the NCRD has just been growing mm-hmm. and recreating itself, yes. and it's used for so many different activities.
It is.
So first, why don't you give us a bit of a overview of the play?
Okay. Yeah, it is. It does have some humor. I think Larry Hsu, the writer, when I was taking a look at the play, he really wanted to develop the character. So I think he's done a pretty good job, and I got very blessed to have some wonderful actors to be a part of that, to really maybe help the audience fall in love with them, or maybe not like them either. So, yeah, I think they're going to do a great job with that. But Larry Hsu really wanted to develop and also bring awareness about intolerance. Mm. So there is a slight political thing in there.
Well, the name The Foreigner sort of makes
yeah,
you wonder
yeah.
that to begin with. Yeah.
So there's an Englishman that is kind of an introvert. He doesn't really want to socialize, but then he gets stuck in a situation where his friend Froggy LeSueur tells the people, "Oh, he's a foreigner. He can't speak English." And Charlie's like, "What? I don't want to do this." But then he's stuck in a situation where he almost tells him, "No, I can speak." But it was an uncomfortable situation, so then he just has to play along.
Uh-huh.
But doing that, he gets to overhear some important things that happen.
Absolutely.
So for an introvert, he gets to maybe have a choice to be a hero, and a few other interesting characters, too, that play
You know, it's funny because I read it, but I didn't associate with it until you just said it out loud, and I realized maybe I shouldn't be admitting this on the radio to the world, but I've done that, where I pretended not to speak the language, or where two of us spoke another language, which is not a common language, so that the people around us assumed that mm-hmm. we couldn't speak the language. And boy, you do hear some things. I've never gotten into the situation this guy got into,
yeah.
apparently. But,
yeah.
Nice. Now, Sedona, mm-hmm. I do want to mention that we also, in addition to these three people sitting here doing theater right now, we also have two people sitting here in the very same chairs who are musicians. Bob, are you in the band too?
Actually, all three of us are.
Oh,
all
my
three
Lord.
Of us.
Yeah, oh,
yeah we're
goodness.
Actually in the same band.
Yeah,
when
you weren't here, we actually came and performed.
That's right, the Sedona Fire Band. Uh-huh. So they perform frequently, actually. You're very generous with your time. You graciously give to the community. So
this is
pretty exciting. But this time it's theater. Now, had you done directing before?
It's been a while, and it was mostly with children and also in college, so it was more probably on the same age, the peer, because I'm a theater minor so this was new, getting back into it again, but I thought it was a good chance for me to kind of remember some things,
mm-hmm.
but it was different too because some of the people that I'm directing are older than me,
mm-hmm.
but I've been working with them, I've acted with them before, so it's been fun. It's been a great learning experience.
How many folks in the
there's a total cast? For cast there's 7,
mm-hmm.
But cast and crew together, this is probably the most Riverbend Players has worked with, is 18 people.
Yeah. Now, as the director, you also deal with the tech people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you get to boss everybody around.
Yeah. I would say my style, I really like to give people that creative freedom because that's, I mean, we're volunteers here. And and the only reason why they're probably even doing it is because they have some creative energy within themselves. So I try to give them as much of their own freedom. And then if I feel like it's too much, then I'll say, hey, maybe pull it back a little bit.
Yeah. Do you get much feedback from the actors that helps you move along?
Oh, yes. They're happy to give you the feedback.
Well, speaking of which, let's turn to Renee. Renee is one of those actors. Is that right? You're one of the eight?
When I was saying eight, that wasn't included. Renee is actually a little bit newer to the Riverbend Players on some level. And she's playing one of the renegades. So if you want to
tell us what
I
that
have
means.
The least part in the whole place.
Hey, they're starting you out small. Don't worry. They will suck you right in. Exactly. So what does that mean? What is the
renegades?
What is the renegades?
I think Sedona should actually tell more about them because I just go on and in my disguise and cause a little mayhem and run off.
That sounds like fun.
It is fun, actually, because like I had to thank Sedona for letting me break out of my typecast because I've always played a floozy before. So now I get to play something else.
Wait a second. Nice. You go from being a floozy to a renegade.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
I wonder what your next part's going to be.
That's
this
what
is
I
interesting.
Wonder too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you are, in addition to the music and the theater, you also make art?
Yes. I am a plein air painter.
And are you with a group in Nehalem, or are you just on your own?
On my own, yes.
Okay, yeah, because that's become a very popular, the plein air painting, which is amazing since it rains so much here, one would wonder. Not this year, but. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised what you can get in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah. So Sedona should probably tell you a little more about the renegades than I can.
She's still being shy,
I can tell. Yeah. Well, and there's a couple changes. Anybody that's going to see this play, they're going to notice that we've adjusted a few things with the help of Bob. He kind of helped me figure this out. This is a much bigger play than the Riverbend Players had been used to. This is probably our largest production, which means obviously needing 18 people total. And so we've adjusted a few things. So anybody that may have seen The Foreigner, we'd like to invite them to come and see us because there are a little bit of differences. It still keeps the integrity of the play, the message, and all the characters. But what it does is we've changed a couple of things. One character that was traditionally a male, we've changed to a female. Wanted to balance it out a little bit more, and I'm really glad I trusted my instincts on that one because it's really turning out to be nice because of that.
And when you do something like that, is there any issue with copyright, etc.?
That's the stuff that you have to, it's really important to keep the integrity. If you're going to be changing too much, that one, I remember reading at the very beginning of the Foreigner script, it has been played before. The one character has been played as a female before. That's pretty much what kind of inspired, and I thought, let's do a female on this one. Mm-hmm. So I think the most important, it always varies. Mm-hmm. Larry Hsu has been a little bit more open with stuff because he's allowed people to even put like the play online. You can see it, which not all playwrights do that.
Uh-huh.
And you can even download the script.
When was this written?
He said it in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're keeping the message, the integrity of it, and that was important for me because I really liked what he wrote and creating the characters. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And Bob, what's your part in all this?
Well, I have been the producer, at least nominally the producer.
What does that mean?
Well, I have been. It means that
you
whatever,
put the money in, the millions of dollars.
Oh yeah, all of that. Yeah,
that's what the producer
does.
Been
a big investment. But it means that whatever Sedona decides not to do, she gives me to do.
No.
But it's a challenge because Sedona is such an overachiever as director and everything else that it's like, come on, give me something to do.
I think he's dying over here.
He's being humble.
He's also the set designer as well.
I've mainly been working on the set, building the set and everything. Okay. That's another kind of new thing for the Riverbend Players is having an actual set to work with.
Wow, this is going to be fun, especially for those folks who've been following you all along. And,
yeah.
And I should mention that Bob also plays with the North Coast
Symphonic Band.
And do you play with the big band, too?
I just played with them. Yeah, and in fact, I remember seeing you in the balcony.
Yes, you did.
I thought, oh, Carol's here. All right, everything's fine. Carol's here.
Yeah. Well, I saw that, and I went, wait, this guy is all over the place. I mean, I had just scheduled you to be here for the play, and then
it happens.
That's how we are in this community, isn't it? Everybody's wearing different hats, except Sedona is the only one who took that literally today. Uh-huh. Folks, you should see her. She
if
looks adorable.
I have my kitty cat.
Really. So, okay. So the NCRD in Nehalem, it's on 9th Street. As you'll find it. Because Nehalem isn't very big, but I have to say that when I went to Trash Art, there was a little sign on the main road.
Yes.
And I hope you make sure that's there.
We are going to be doing that,
because it
too.
Does help. Just watch for it when you go through Nehalem. Don't blink too hard or too long. Again, the show opens tomorrow night, and then that's a 7 o'clock show, all the Fridays and Saturdays. And then at 2 p.m. this Sunday, the next weekend is just Friday and Saturday. And the third weekend is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it closes on the 31st. And do people need to get tickets in advance, or are they okay?
It's probably okay if you just show up. But I have been noticing some people have been holding their tickets in advance. They can email us at theriverbendplayers at gmail.com.
Okay, sounds
and
good.
And we can hold them at the door.
Okay, well, it sounds, Renee, you're the only one on stage in this group, so I get to tell you to break a leg.
Yeah, well, thank you.
But don't take me literally. If you're new in theater, you may not get that. So okay, really, thanks so much for coming in,
all of you.
I'm sure I'll see you in one capacity or another in the future.
That's right.
In the future. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very
Bye-bye.
Much,
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Again, that is the Riverbend Players Theater Company with The Foreigner by Larry Hsu. And you're listening to Coast Community Radio, and I have some music for you from Catherine Feeney and Chris Janitis, and they are going to be Friday and Saturday, this tonight, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. at the Pickled Fish at the Adrift in Long Beach on the peninsula. And this is for the baby. Our baby.
Now I finally see the light. We choose between an endless night and day. Time, it stretches on and on, even after we're gone, our legacy lives on. They will sleep in the bed we have made. They will build on foundations we laid. They will search the advice that we gave for true wisdom.
Should be off now. Yes. That was Catherine Feeney and Chris Janitis. And again, they are going to be at the at the Adrift tonight and tomorrow night. That's at 9 o'clock shows. And I told you it's busy here today. It's busy, busy, busy. But it's good. It's all good. And right now, I have two of my colleagues, and they are here because the North Coast Chorale has a concert. one of them is a professional radio person, and the other one is not. So I've got the professional working for me on the other side. If you haven't been to the station, and you live anywhere near here, you should come and visit us and see the setup. We've got a fabulous radio station. So my guests are Dr. Denise Reed. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
And Denise is the other radio programmer in the room. She does. How often is your show? Is it weekly?
It's weekly. Every Sunday, but the 1st and the 5th.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because once I think there are only 4/5.
Right.
I have that schedule too there. So, and that is Sunday morning. Coral Gems and
Classical Jewels.
There. It's very rich in imagery as well as music. And my other guest is Cheryl Grampson-Capellan. Cheryl Capellan, who is all over the place with lots of activities, but in this case, it's the North Coast Chorale. Now, have you been on the station?
I have once before.
Only once. Yeah. Okay.
Talking again about it. No, I think we were talking about the Costa Rican exchange program.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. See, that's what I mean, folks. We were talking about this with the last folk. There are so many things going on here, and many of us are involved in many of them, and it's great. It's great. We can always use more volunteers, of course. So the North Coast Chorale is celebrating its 25th anniversary. Wow, that's pretty fabulous. Cheryl, have you been with it since the beginning?
I've been with the chorale since about 2001, but we do have one member who's been there for the whole time.
Who's that?
It's Helena Graves.
Wow.
A soprano, yeah.
That's wonderful, yeah. The rest of us have come and others have gone. Mm-hmm. And Denise, when did you take the helm of the North Coast Chorale?
2007.
2007?
Yeah, the fall term of 2007.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're getting up there to your 10th anniversary yourself.
Mm.
Woohoo! Only in addition to the North Coast Chorale, Denise started a Clatsop Community Children's Chorus. And when did you do that?
Well, we did. It was a decision of the whole group that mm-hmm. we start that as part of our educational outreach. And now they've been going for 3 terms. So mm-hmm. that would be a fall term, a spring spring term.
Oh,
fall,
okay. Right, right.
Because they started with a John Rutter's Mass of the Children.
That's when we wanted children.
Yes. So we had to have children.
Right. And the amazing thing is, what would you say the age? I was kind of blown away when I saw those kids the other
They're second through 5th graders.
Yes, they are young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very exciting to have them singing. Now, this concert that's coming up tomorrow night and Sunday, the name of the concert, traditional and folk music,
Americana.
Uh-huh. It's traditional folk music.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Most of the music people have heard before or know the titles.
It's kind of got something for everyone. There's several wonderful patriotic pieces, and there's some spirituals and some folk music, and so it's not just folk, but
right.
American music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and the children's chorus is doing a few pieces on their own, actually.
Yes, they are.
Which mm-hmm. is pretty impressive. And then we're doing one with them. The most impressive for a lot of us old people is that the kids don't. They're all off book.
Yes.
We're all on book.
Very much so.
They've got to memorize the words.
Right.
And we're going like, oh, my God, I couldn't do that anymore. So tell us about the concert the concept. Now, are you all, you're on the board, aren't you, Cheryl?
She's the president.
I'm the president.
You're the oh wait, let me sit up a little taller now.
Yeah.
The president of the board. So that's why you say it's there are some of these are group decisions that
yes,
are made.
Yes, right.
So whose idea was it to do this concert? Because and North Coast Chorale does quite a variety of,
yes,
of music.
Yes, and you know, people had been asking for a while to do something, let's do some things that people know and can sing along and some patriotic things. And, you know, I had been kind of listening to that and then having these other orcs in my head wanted to try those. But so they finally got me at their 25th anniversary to go into the folk music and patriotic things. And
so did you, but who makes the decisions about the particular pieces?
Well, we discuss it at the board. We
is that
have
right?
a listening session or usually, and then I have an idea and bring it to the board, and then they discuss it. Oh, does that sound like an idea that'll go?
Yeah, I was curious because I'm thinking, is most of the music in the public domain? Do you look for that or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I've looked in our library to see what's there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the music that's there that's older is out of print at this point. And so that involves a lot of research in order to be able to perform those pieces. For example, we have several pieces, the arrangement of Simple Gifts, and yeah. She's Coming Around the Mountain, that were out of print that we had to obtain permission to perform.
And pay for it as well?
And pay for, yep.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
There's always a just, pay yeah. for. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If you already have the music, because you've done it in the past, do you still have to pay to use it for that particular performance, or no?
Once no, you wouldn't have to pay to use it.
The, you would have to buy extra copies.
You'd have to buy
copies, have enough
copies, right.
Yeah.
And that's where the payment
they get
comes
you.
In.
Right, because
yeah. mm-hmm.
you're not supposed to Xerox stuff.
Right,
okay.
right. So that's
yeah, I
why.
Know there's some way or other that the copyright comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about what folks are going to hear. You said things that people can sing along, and I do have some music lined up here that I can... Shall I put that on in the background?
Well, it's not music from this actual concert,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
it's a spiritual from a previous concert, just to give
well, let's
you
hear
an
just,
idea of what
let's
we sound
hear
like.
A little bit of this. So you can get a taste of the sound of the North Coast Chorale. It's pretty amazing. I remember before I was, yes, for full disclosure, I do sing with the chorale. But before I sang with the chorale, I went to some of the concert, and I was blown away. It was beautiful. There was one time you did a piece. It was just women. It was only a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just hauntingly beautiful,
mm-hmm.
And I've heard people in the audience say that too. Sometimes when we're on the stage, we wonder,
mm-hmm.
and
how it's coming off, right?
right.
yeah.
But then it it gives. So tell us what else we're going to be hearing now.
Okay.
Well, Denise has arranged the program in sort of chapters. And we start out with the invocation is a Native American prayer reminding everyone that the land does not belong to us. And from there, we go into segments that are arranged sort of chronologically and
right,
thematically.
Like the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
The pioneers. Yeah, the pioneers. All of those people.
And the struggle for freedom is the second group. And so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what?
It's
what's
sort
the third
of telling
and fourth?
A story. Oh, the struggle
the
for
groups.
Freedom is two. The third is starts with the Clatsop County Children's Chorus singing several things.
Yeah.
And the final is America, We Love You.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is happening this Saturday night. Right. This is at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. You got to get all these things straight, folks. 7 p.m. on Saturday. And tickets at the door?
Yes, yeah. At the door.
We'll keep it nice and simple. But, of course, be there early enough, because if the concert starts at 7, you want to be there in your seats, ready to go. And then on Sunday, the concert is at 2 p.m. At the Performing Arts Center. And I think you'll enjoy what the chorale looks like this concert as
theme,
well.
Yes.
It's a little different. Me too. It's going to be exciting. So this is the 25th anniversary spring concert, Americana, traditional folk music, and more, with the North Coast Chorale and the Clatsop County Children's Chorus. And if you... Oh, and the quilts. What about those quilts?
We have quilts that are decorating the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And several that were made down in Seaside by a quilters group at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And they're going to have... It's quilt art. They aren't full-size quilts.
Right.
And they're going to be selling those to raise funds for the Clatsop County... Food Bank.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you'll get to see, not all of them will be for sale, I presume.
No.
So you'll get to see some gorgeous Americana there, too. Right. Wonderful. I'm a quilt person, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else we need to know?
That's it. We just know that there's so many things that are happening that we appreciate all of those who have been supporting us
mm-hmm.
for 25 years
yeah.
coming to our concerts.
And if you're interested in singing with the North Coast Chorale,
yes,
what should you do? First of all, come to the concert, of course, but
that's right.
In addition,
come to the concert and then be prepared to come to a membership meeting that we have just before we start our fall season, and that's usually in August, and you'll see some information about that, or just leave your name when you come to the concert and we'll contact you.
And the North Coast Chorale takes part in a lot of things all over the place, including the Astoria Music Festival and singing in various venues around town, so it's a lot. It's fun as well as work. Denise is quite the taskmaster. Oh, did I say that? Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay.
We have a website also.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Yes, we do.
It's...
We have... So
www.northcoastchorale.org.
We think. And if it's not... If it's not that,
it's close to
then you Google it and find
it.
North Coast Chorale, we're the only ones in Clatsop County, in Oregon, for that matter. Okay,
right.
Thanks.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
And I have some music from, this is, oh, here they are. The Stumptown Swing group is Tim Connell and Mike Burdett. They're going to be May 23rd at the Pine Grove Community House in Manzanita. They are hot. Listen in and then stay ready for the teen troupe from the Astor Street Opry Company coming up your way right here on Coast Community Radio. Thank you. That's what I call hot stuff. That's Stumptown Swing. Again, that's next week, Saturday, at the Pine Grove Community House, an early show at 5:30. And I do want to tell you that tonight, Cinderella, also Astoria High School, The Bold, The Young, and The Murdered, lovely. And the coaster, Mixed Emotions, that's through May 24. And then Astor Street Opry Company, Sleeping Beauty. Oh, by golly, I've got the sleepers right here as we speak. And then, let's see, what else do I have for you? And The Adrift is Catherine Feeney and Christian Edis. There's lots more going on. Tomorrow, the North Coast Chorale, Ariel Gore at the Hoffman Peninsula Performing Arts Center has Beth Wood, Tillamook County Pioneer Museum, Music for Children, 5 to 10. Sou'wester at 8 p.m. has a group of musicians, Lower Columbia Celtic and Old Time Music. Carlton Apollo's 93rd birthday. Happy birthday, Carlton. Hi. The lights.com. Check it out. Judith, our friend, jeweler Judith Altruda, and wood artist Jeffro Uto from Tokeland are going to be featured from 5 to 8. Riverbend Players, that's tonight, not Saturday night. I don't know why I have it as Saturday night. I'm pretty sure that's tonight. Better check it out. Riverbend Players open and Sweet Basil. Sunday Afternoon Live is this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Raymond Theater. Carrie McNally in Oysterville. And Fort George, Will West, and Friendly, and the Friendly Strangers, and Latimer Quilt and Textile, and as I said, the Sleeping Beauties are here, but they are not asleep, not even close to being asleep. As a matter of fact, they've been doing so much work that they have extended the show for 2 weeks. Isn't that right?
Just one more week, yes.
Yeah, but this weekend and next weekend. It was supposed to end this weekend, so I'm so glad you guys must be doing something right. That was Bill Carr's voice you just heard. Bill is a teenager at heart. I love him. But he is also, this time, the director. And I have Kendra, what did I say, Littell?
Yeah.
Is here. Kendra, what are you doing in this play?
I'm the queen.
You're the queen.
Queen Juliana. Yeah. Oh. AmeriCorps.
I'm breathing during the play, too.
That's a good thing. Yeah. It's good to breathe when you're in a play and when you're not in a play, by the way. We all knew that, though. Yeah. Okay, Nicole Ramsdell. Oh, I love this. I asked them to do identification, and sure enough, it's faux gray leather. I wanted to make sure of that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to have her in the studio, right? Nicole Ramsdell. Hi, what are you doing in this play, Nicole?
Hi. I am playing Thornberry, which is the evil fairy.
You know what? I played Thornberry right here in Clatsop County probably 35 years ago.
Right.
Yes, it's true. Holy cow, we'll have to talk. That's Nicole and Gabriella Allen. What are you doing?
I'm the Sleeping Beauty. I sleep.
Oh,
yeah.
So is that it?
I'm Princess Elaine.
You sleep through the whole play?
I sleep.
No, but you do wake up and...
Eventually.
So this is the teen troupe. Do you have to kind of whip them into shape all the time, Bill, or are they?
I'm honored to work with these fine young ladies and gentlemen in this. They've put up a phenomenal show. We've got a great show. Come and see our show for this weekend. We brought coupons. We've got some coupons here in the radio.
Ooh.
It's only $11, $7 for children. We've got a dollar off coupon on this thing.
Okay, well, we don't usually give prices, but we do want to support. Our Astor Street Opry Company does wonderful stuff with children and young people, as well as adults, but they've had Shanghai and Astoria going for 30-some years. So this is an exciting... How many teens are there in the troupe?
We have 15 right now.
15. So are you, how oldish are you guys?
I'm 13.
I'm 13 as well. And same. I'm
okay,
13.
You're all 13. Are there younger and older? Because 13 is really the first teen age, but 12-year-olds sometimes try to sneak
in
there.
We've even got an 11-year-old in here because she's got such a great voice. She's part of our
castle
choir.
It has to do with maturity as well as castle choir. Oh, dear. How old are the oldest kids then?
18. 18. Jasmine's 18.
Mm-hmm.
And gotta come on down. This is a popcorn-friendly show, just like Shanghai Tonight Stories. So come on down.
Wait a second. You mean you're gonna throw popcorn at the at the Queen and the Cinderella Thornberry? Oh my God! Are they throwing popcorn at you? I'll come and protect you. Okay. We Thornberries have to stick together. Do you guys enjoy doing theater? Have you been in Shanghai? Have you done other theater?
I've done Junior Shanghai.
Junior Shanghai.
And I've done a couple other plays before, and I like it. It's fun.
Do you like working with other people, or what do you like about theater?
I like being able to kind of turn the characters into my own thing while still being able to get everyone to see it and just having my own little piece of the show.
Nice. Very nice. Very well said, Kendra.